will look up here and realize that I am not Steve Justly, as your bulletin suggests, and we are not going to hear a sermon from Matthew 26 this morning. But fear not, you will hear something.
Pray for Steve and Carol.
They're both under the weather pretty significantly, so be in prayer for them, for their healing and well-being. I have an interesting, unusual, maybe weird way to start this morning, so here we go. When you go to a funeral or a memorial service, and I know that may hit home for some of you real close right now, we always remember the life of the person to whom we are paying our respects. We offer eulogies and other remembrances. Sometimes many people stand and speak about the important events, the important connections in the life of that person. I know that's an unusual way to start a sermon, but bear with me. This is in total contrast to what the scriptures tell us about our communion experience, our communion memories. What are we supposed to remember when it comes to communion? We're supposed to remember the death of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think about why that is? Why do we focus on that? I'd ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll look at a fairly short passage here as we search the scriptures for the answer to that question. Why is it that we remember the death of Jesus? 1 Peter 2. 24 and 25, this is God's holy word, listen to it. Where Peter writes to the scattered tribes, it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." Let's pray. Great God in heaven, take the scriptures, your holy word, and please bring honor and glory to your name. Move us this morning by your Holy Spirit to understand what we are doing in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and why we remember your death. Help us to love you and obey you through your word. Give us hope and peace through your word and through this sacrament. We pray this through Jesus our Savior. Amen. So why is it that the Bible instructs us to remember the death of Jesus until he returns? Well, two answers to that initial question. He is alive is the first most important answer, and he is no longer dead. So we point back to the one event that is most surprising about the divine Son of God, that he died. That's wild. It's normal for us. It's not normal for God. More to the point, we look back to what he accomplished through his death and by his death that no one else could ever do in life or death. You see, Jesus dealt with our problem of sin. He did not leave us in this world without hope. And so that you might have hope this morning, I want you to consider two characteristics of sin that Jesus overcame in his death that point us to why we remember the death of Jesus. First, I want you to consider the weight of sin. Our beginning verse here this morning says, "He bore our sins. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." Some of your versions may have said that he carries our sins. And that's a good way to put it as well. Because Jesus was bearing the load, carrying the weight of our sins, and that's a heavy load to bear. Now let me ask you a quick question here. How much weight do you think you can carry? Think in terms of our military personnel, or maybe a Boy Scout going on a long trek. Perhaps a strong person could carry a load of what? If you had to carry it for a week or 2 weeks, 50 pounds, 75 pounds, maybe 100 pounds. Maybe a little more if a person were really strong and fit. Of course, the idea with hiking is to carry as little as possible, but still have enough to get to the end. But just think about the size of the load that you might carry. Some of you wear backpacks to school. Some of you carry a briefcase or some other kind of bag. And you do that to help you carry a load. But how much can you carry? 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, 500 pounds? Some of you might be able to move it. 500 pounds, but not very far. Even those massive guys in the World's Strongest Man competition can only carry those ridiculous weights so far. If we keep adding, we eventually come to an amount that we can't carry, that no one can carry. In Psalm 38:4, the psalmist says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And the New Living Translation, a modern translation, says it like this: "The guilt of my sin overwhelms me. It's over my head. It's a burden too heavy to bear." The weight of sin on each of us individually is too heavy for us to carry on our own. That's because one small sin tips the scales of righteousness forever away from the perfection that God demands. But take it up another level. We've only been talking about what you, one individual, or me, could carry on our own. But we've seen that the Bible concludes that our guilt is so heavy that we're unable to carry it. We're unable to bear up under the weight of our own sin. But Peter's telling us that Jesus carried our sins. The sins of all the believers to whom Peter was writing, and by extension to all believers of all time to whom he was writing. Now, I know this. I'm going off the beaten track a lot this morning, all right? I want you to think about a tractor pull. Now, I know y'all are educated, sophisticated, and classy. But there may be a few of us, a swath, who might also be a little bit country. And sometimes the strangest things will catch your attention when you channel surf or when you're flipping through reels or whatever you're doing. And I know myself, I have stopped at swamp buggy racing and catfish noodling and tractor pulls, okay? Now, ladies, you probably don't stop there. But we guys do. And I doubt I'm the only fella that's been hooked into that. Anyway, you know a tractor pull is all about this: the distance a tractor can pull an ever-increasing amount of weight before it grinds it to a stop. The one that goes the furthest distance in the shortest amount of time wins. And these tractors can often pull their own weight many times over. The power-to-weight ratio, very high. Even the jet-powered monsters, though, can only go so far before the increasing weight eventually stops them dead. Eventually, all of them stop because they can't carry it any further. At some point, even the winner fails. Even in the strongest machine, and even if it can pull many times its own weight, there's still a point where it stalls out and everything stops. Can you even fathom a machine that wouldn't eventually bog down under excessive weight? No, I can't. Now, if we could somehow manage to create a sin-carrying machine to carry all our sins, there would still come a point at which that thing would stall out and quit. And the reason for that is simple. It's because sinful human beings were not created to bear the weight of their own sin. Only Jesus is able to do that. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus never reaches a point at which the weight of all the sins grinds him to a halt, because he kept the perfection that God required. of all of us. He kept it. So the first characteristic is the weight of sin. The weight of all the sins of all believers is heavy. It's too heavy for us individually. It's too heavy for us collectively. But it's not too heavy for Jesus. He carried the weight of those sins, our sins, all our sins, in his own body on the cross. Second characteristic. The second characteristic of sin to consider this morning is its cost. Folks, sin is expensive. If the weight of sins is too heavy for a person to carry on his own, then it stands to reason that the cost of sin is too high for a person to pay. The scriptures confirm this fact. Psalm 49, verses 7 and 8 says, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a soul is costly. No payment is ever enough." Is that pretty clear? It's too costly to buy your way out. So think of this in terms of your credit card or maybe your available credit. How much debt can you handle? Well, maybe you can do pretty well and you can service $5,000 or $10,000 of debt with relative ease. Maybe you're considerably more financially able and you can carry a debt of $50,000 or $100,000 or $500,000. Maybe your combined debt-carrying ability is significantly higher than average. Maybe it's $1 million or $10 million or $40 million. Most of us in this room can't even get our minds around numbers like that. But even the wealthiest person among us only has so much capacity to carry debt. Eventually, everyone runs out of capacity for debt, even huge corporations and nations. Maybe it's for you, it's not until you reach the range of the national debt and trillions of dollars, but there's a limit. Now translate that to the cost of sin. Here's the deal. God's law demands a perfect record. And after your very first sin, you get that credit card statement back in, and it says you're over the limit on your auto pay for the sin debt line of credit. And each and every new sin, each additional sin, piles onto a debt load that you cannot pay until an honest man, one who is not in complete denial, realizes he is in a desperate situation, and there is no hope. No hope of digging out on your own. And you realize then what we really are is just bankrupt. We're bankrupt when it comes to covering our sin debt. We can't do it. It costs too much. It's too expensive for us to ever hope to pay out of. You know, in John 19:30, one of Jesus' final declarations on the cross was, "It is finished." We've sung about that this morning already. And you know the Greek word in there, you've heard this before, is tetelestai. It's what "it is finished" is translated from. Now obviously it means Jesus' work is completed. But in the ordinary business world of that time, the times when the New Testament was written, that word was stamped on a bill of sale to show that a transaction was completed or paid in full. That's one translation of tetelestai then, paid in full. But what debt was Jesus paying when he said, "It's finished, it's done, I've paid it in full"? Well, Colossians 2 makes it really clear. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him," with Jesus, "having forgiven us all our trespasses," and here it is, verse 14, "by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So we remember that our debt is canceled when we remember the death of Jesus. Jesus paid the debt our sins incurred. Peter picks up on that concept, that truth, Jesus himself carried the debt of our sins in his body on the tree. He was paying the price. He paid the price that we could never afford. The perfect, sinless Son of God in the place of sinners. Of course, it was a well-known theme that the readers of Isaiah would immediately pick up on, one which Peter knew quite well, where Isaiah writes, and this is what Peter is echoing later on here in chapter 2, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, by his stripes, we are healed." And then that famous section, "All of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That chapter, Isaiah 53, finishes with this verse: "He poured out his soul to death. He was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors." You see, we have a substitute. We have somebody who stood in our place. Your sins are too weighty for you to carry. Your sins are too costly for you to pay. But Jesus carried the full weight, and he paid the entire debt of all our sins in his death on the cross. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we celebrate not only his sinless, perfect life, but most significantly, the scriptures tell us to remember his death, his weight-carrying, debt-canceling, substitutionary death. And I pray that you will have ample reason to celebrate his death, to remember his death this morning as we come to the table. Because he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree. Let's pray. Oh, Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we agree with your word that sin is a weight too heavy for us to carry. We agree with your word that sin is a debt too costly for us to pay off. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our substitute. Oh, Jesus, you carried the full weight. You paid the entire debt of all our sins in your death on the cross. We had no hope of escaping the burden and the cost without your divine intervention. For this we thank you, and we remember. We remember and hope because of your death. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.